Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Everybody in this place, let's do something real quickly, shall we? Let me see the hand of you that are quiet saints. We want to honor you. Give an honor to God, Superintendent, Elder, Deacon, Missionary, Evangelist. Thank the Lord for being here, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. We honor your quietness. Does everybody take a moment? All right, that's done. Now, how about some radical, crazy... Yeah. Yes, indeed. You know, I'm just like on that, you know, I come from old school. So like, you know, when things happen, things really happen. You know what I mean? You know, I said old school. So it wasn't a lot of quiet stuff where I came from. My mom's church and my grandmother's church, they were like cray cray all day, day. Sunday service lasted until Sunday night. I'm just saying, I ain't one to gossip. And then of course, the Lord took me to another place and I found out that wasn't a black thing. Driving me to drink, looking at me like that. I found out that it was one of those Pentecostal things. That people that knew God, they had this habit of constantly making noise for Him. I'm just saying. So the blind eyes were open. I remember the first time I saw a blind eye open, and God healed this woman at 70-something years old, never seen her children or anything. Never seen her children. And as a little boy, she would give me little Vicks. She knew my voice. And so she would give me these little Vic candies. Back there, that was candy for us. We're going to get some candy from her. It's just little Vicks things, you know. Some of y'all, you're too young, you don't know. And but when God healed her, it was, I don't know, maybe, I know it was during the nighttime because it was during a storm and all the lights went out like something like today when the lights or whatever, the electricity messed up the PA. So we just had one of those crazy things that happened. But the saints literally went home and during the first of the service and got kerosene lamps. And it was an old fire station. Wood floors, you know. So when they got happy, they got happy. I mean, the wood, you could just hear it. I could hear it in my head now. What was interesting though, is that they wouldn't go home. You couldn't discourage them to go home just because it was a storm. They was gonna have some church, so they came. They opened up the front doors and they shined their light into the place. And then the other saints went home and got some kerosene lamps and came back. And there was this little preacher that preached. He had a little bald head, some like mine. He had a dot right in the middle of it, the back of it. And I was always fascinated how that dot can be so perfect. He had to be a man of God. And when he got through preaching and put kerosene lamps throughout the auditorium, one by the piano, which was out of tune, and the drum, they only had a kick and a snare, and they were using brushes, and the hi-hats wouldn't open and close. And there was a guitar, and the guitar had like two strings on it, so they didn't play it like this. They laid it down and played it like this. It was just one of those things. They didn't have what we have here. There wasn't this beauty here, this convenience, old wooden chairs. This mother didn't anticipate a miracle that night. And at the end of service, right when it was closing, he said, "Is there anybody here that want God to do something?" And she walked. They got her and walked her in the middle of a circle of saints, and they started praying. God opened her eyes, and when you're a kid, you can remember, you can smell, or just something could trigger you, and you can smell that moment. And God did something amazing. God opened her eyes. I often wondered, after I grew up, why did she stumble after God opened her eyes? Why is it that she was still hitting things that was far off, or should I say, you know, hitting things that was closer as though it was far off, and she stumbled. She was so amazed that she can see. My God. And when it was time for her to come, or for me to talk to her, because I was crying, and she closed her eyes, because she knew my voice, but she didn't know my face. She closed her eyes and put her hand on my face and said, "You're Robert," because she knew my voice. That's the God you're serving. So That's the God we're serving. So excuse me for not apologizing for the noise that we make and for the praise that we have and the dance that we have and the shout that we have. Please, I don't want you to be offended, but if it offends you, you just always have to remember we're not praising you anyway. We're praising the one and the only true living God that does miracles today. Come on, we can do better. 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 Say the Bokosha. Come on, we can do better. Oh my, don't you feel him? I know you gotta feel him. Don't you feel him? God, we bless you. We bless you. We bless you. Hallelujah. Receive our praise. Father, we come to you knowing that you have summoned us to be here. It's nothing accidental. It has nothing to do with that. It has nothing to do with even our strength and just our ability. As believers, you summoned us to come. This is not something that we did or thought of or just came to our minds. You put it in our spirit, in our heart, and there are people here that need miracles. And God, I know you. I know you, and I know how much you love your people. And I know that you touch them and heal them. And that's all we want. We want from you, not from anybody else, just you, to touch and to heal and to minister to people. And we want you to receive our praise and our worship. God, we're going to sing to you and bless you like it's the last day we're on the earth. God, I pray that every person in this house have a unique voice, that the voicing of this body tonight, the uniqueness of this body, will cause heaven to come and kiss earth. Give us miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle, physically, emotionally. Give us miracles financially. May the heavens be open over this place in the wonderful name of Jesus. And I want you to take another few moments and open your mouth and bless God like you lost your mind. Bless him. Come on. Come on, bless your God. Oh, it's going to be noisy tonight. Hallelujah. Give three people a high five and tell them God has something for you tonight. He has something for you tonight. Everybody say, oh. Ah, yeah, that's how the old saints, you say, oh. Yeah, never mind, just sit down. We'll get there. Son, how you doing, buddy? You know I'm jealous of all that, but that's all right. That's okay. I'm trying. Now, is Eagle Rock here or Eagle River? I'm sorry. Are they here? They're here in the sanctuary? They're online. Hi, Eagle River. Like, duh, we love you. Hello there. We're so grateful that you're hanging out with us on tonight. Let me say to Pastor Bracken, if he is watching, one of the dearest relationships that I have on earth is with the Brackens. I love, adore them. We're very, very, very close in heart. I believe in the anointing that's on his life. And I say that because it's true, that there's definitely a touch of God on him, very unique, and God has used him and continue to use him. I have a lot of testimonies as we have been across the country in certain meetings and watching God use them, and it never ceases to amaze me that every time that we're together, I can always identify that little boy in him. He's just one of those adults that refuses to get rid of that little boy. He's willing to give God the fish and the loaves to feed the multitudes, and we honor him on tonight. And I want this church, even though he isn't here right now, I want you to take a few moments in which you please let him know that you love him and you appreciate him. Would you? We love him. Appreciate his vision, his heart. Absolutely. The travel and the idea, you know, that in his mind that God would even take him out of where he's come from and do what he's continues to do. He'll sit there and just weep, just shake his head and just weep like a like a baby, because he knows that it was God that has done it. And then, of course, his wonderful wife, Sister Karen, she's absolutely amazing. She's unique and powerful and anointed in her own right, and we love her so much. Just to brag, don't y'all just love? I love them. Like, it was not hard for him to ask me to listen. I'm telling you, it's anything you need me to do, I will always do. And of course, I love being here with you. I love you all. Appreciate you and thank God for your anointing. You know you're anointed, right? When he says, touch not my anointing, you know he was talking about the congregation, the people of God. Do my prophets no harm, and we honor you. We would never speak anything of you or about you or over you other than the blessings of God. And so we bless you. Then, of course, Dr. Morocco, how many of y'all know we have a visionary? Oh, my gosh. It blesses me so much just to spend any time with him at all and to hear the testimonies. The testimonies are wild, what they're doing. And Pastor Josh, what's taking place all over the world because of two men have a heart for God. And Dr. Morocco, he's a visionary for real. he's a visionary for real. And so we appreciate them, okay? We're going to go to the word of the Lord. Philippians, real quickly, the second chapter, Philippians. Can I have you on the screen to... put something up on the screen. I was talking about Job, the first chapter. So there's two verses that I want us to look at. Let's start with Job first, the 15th chapter, not the first, but the 15th chapter of Job. If you'll turn there real quickly, the 15th chapter of Job, and give me the 14th, 15th verse. And I want to sit. Do we have it back on that screen too, or is it just the screen here? Okay, well, I'll look at the screen up here. Whenever you get it up there, I'll look at the screen. So I want us to read this together. Quite interesting verse. You know, when God calls you, how many of y'all know he's not calling you depending and relying upon your strength? You do know that, right? Even with Samson, it's interesting that everything that he did that was supernatural, the scripture said, then the Spirit of God came upon him, then the Spirit of God came upon him, then the Spirit. It was not his hair. The hair was the result of a covenant. But then the Spirit of God came up, and when he marked the covenant with disobedience, obviously, that meant, of course, that he would lose his hair. Don't look at me like that's what's going on with God and I right now. I'm in a new covenant, I'm just saying. But if you really pay attention, it's pretty amazing. So God doesn't rely upon your strength. Say it out. God doesn't, no, 15th chapter in the 15th verse, Job 15 and 15. God does not rely upon your strength to get this done. You should be going like, praise God. And all you know that it's the hand of God on you. And when God summons his people, there's something he has in mind. But I want us to read this. Look, God does not even trust the angels. Even the heavens are not absolutely pure in his sight. Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3. Look, God does not even trust the angels. Even the heavens are not absolutely pure. I don't think everybody's reading. Can we try it again? Like we're in class. 1, 2, 3. Look, God does not. I love that. Thank you. So I want you to not think of God. And I know some of you that have ego trips. I just want you to just think for a moment. God's not relying on you for him to be God. I'm just saying. He's not depending on you for him to be who he is. Independently, God is God. I'm just saying, he was perfectly happy before we were created. He didn't create us because he was lonely and he needed a buddy, a fishing buddy, or a pal. There was something about him that he was just lonely and he was not complete. We do not complete God. God completes us. God is not our echo. We are his echo. So I just wanted to just settle for a moment so you can understand, and it's a very wonderful truth. It's a very wonderful reality for believers, and we must never get to a place to where we're actually thinking that God is completely and totally relying upon us to do anything. That sounds almost contrary, right? But I want you to see it from this perspective. If you don't do it, you'll find somebody that will. Smile, please. If you're not willing, it may be generations later, but he'll always have somebody in the earth that will search for him. As a matter of fact, can we just go here for a moment, just for a few moments? This is why seeking God does not belong to sinners. Listen to me. Sinners cannot seek God. They can seek things from God. They can seek a healing. They can seek a miracle. They can seek many things, wisdom. But seeking God actually belongs to the kingdom of God. People that are in the kingdom can seek him. Sinners can seek many things from God, but they have no right to seek God. It's crazy, isn't it? It's those that are in the kingdom that have the right to seek him, not just things from him. Before you get saved, you can be drunk. Lord, just please, Lord, you get me home, Lord. Get me home, Lord. I promise you, Lord. There's no problem with God helping you, but seeking him is different than just seeking help from God. There's a difference between trying to get something from God and then seeking God himself, completely different. That right belongs to the church. It belongs to those that are in the kingdom of God. This is why his name should be very valuable to you. You should never, ever take lightly the privilege you and I have to be able to call on the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. I'll say it again. Hallelujah. Now, why is this important? It's a little strange to say it that way because I realize that some of us, we seem to think that seeking God belongs to everybody. You can seek things about God. You can seek whatever. You even have people that are not Jesus' disciples that are still disciples. You can be a disciple without being a disciple of Jesus. Disciple simply means you're learned ones, or you're learning about him, you're students of him. So you can be a secular disciple just to learn about his life. You can admire his life. You can look at his life the way you do many other, whatever you want to call, principle livers. Now, I don't mean liver, but I mean those that have lived by principle. It's why Jesus distinguished and said, by the world shall they know you're my personal disciple, mine, because, and even when he prayed about his disciples and those that would believe on him because of his disciples. I know that sounds strange, but I want to qualify this in the book of John, the first chapter, if you'll turn there quickly so we can understand something. As today, we're not just seeking something from God, our hearts have turned to seek God. And that's the beauty of the kingdom. That's the beauty of the church. Can you imagine anybody being in the world, just a huge world as it is today, wonderful, beautiful world. I know there's a lot of evils and a lot of mishaps and dysfunctions, and I get all of that. But can you imagine being in the world and no one seeking God? Even Enoch was known not because that he simply said something to God or that he sought something from God. He was known because he sought God. And the Bible said that he walked with God so, now this is the privilege that he had, he walked with God so until one day that he walked up into God and he was no more. But those that was around him, he left something. That man sought God. Nothing can be more important than people knowing that you seek God. There's no greater testimony that you can ever have. This is why the Bible says very plainly, and I love the verse when you get to scripture in Matthew, the 6th chapter, and he says, hey, listen, seek you first. The word first there is not numerical, it's priority. Seek you first, the kingdom of God, and listen, I love this, his righteousness. Well, we know that sinners can't seek his righteousness. We know that. Smile, please. The one that have access to his righteousness are believers. That sounds so weird, doesn't it? Say, I never heard that before. Well, just kind of bear with me. Now, why is it important to establish this verse? Because I want you to understand the privilege that you and I have as sons and daughters. We have it up. We have it on the screen. John, the first chapter and the 12th verse. I want us to read it together, and I want you to read loud. Some of you kind of, your head is swarming. Just kind of hang with me, though, okay? Just kind of hang. I want to make sure it's on the screen. Let me see. It's not on the screen yet. So what God does, how many of you know that God's doing something right now in the lives of people? And it's God's seekers that God's using. Lift your hand up if you're a seeker of the Lord, and we'll deal with that. Do they have that on the screen? Are we? Okay, thank you so much. It says, now, but to all who believe him, let's say it together. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. So to as many of those that have received him, the word is lambano, those that have received him, he's given them power or the right, our legal right to become sons, or the Greek is born ones of God. That's crazy. That is so amazing to me. Now, let me explain something to you, if you will. This is why that we preach. This is the reason why we travel. This is the reason why you have this here. This amazing testimony that God has some folks that have sought him in Alaska. This is not a club. Ain't nobody up in here trying to make it rain. This is an established house of prayer and people that seek God. The split moment you take your heart and your mind away from seeking God to seeking a building, we're in trouble. The fact that we have sought God about this location and what God would do on the hill across the street from Walmart, that meant that there would have to be some folks that would seek God to get this done, because it couldn't be done outside of seeking God to get it done. Lift your hand up and say hallelujah. Now, why is this so important? I'm going to tell you why. The split moment that we take our minds and hearts and affections and commit them anywhere else other than seeking God, you're just a bunch of good, nice, religious people sitting in a chair. But if you are, which we are, in Christ, we are considered separate, or separated from the world, for the purpose of God's glory to be revealed in the earth. I'm just saying. I've stood around in my lifetime and I've seen a lot. I've seen things change. Things are changing. I've seen platforms change. I've seen them go from tents to auditoriums. I've been around a long time. I've seen them from sitting on the stage to sitting in the first few pews, pastors. I've seen a lot change. I've seen them from going from suits to jeans. I've seen them from you couldn't wear a hat to now you can. In the church, I've seen a lot of things change in terms of fashion. I've beheld a lot of things change. I've seen people fall in love with their own praise, their praisers. They fall in love with their own faith, their faithers. I've seen so much in my lifetime of watching things change in the different orders amongst the people of God. At times, it's disturbed me to see that they took more pride in what their fashion was as opposed to who was fashioning them. Oh, I've seen a lot. I've seen a lot. But here's the one thing that I've always remembered as a child is seekers. 12 o'clock prayer time. Coming to church early, seeking God. I remember as a child, my grandma would take me to church and she would put me on the altar with her. The children didn't run around the place. No. They fixed you on that altar. And they had the laying on hands ministry. Just in case you thought you were getting up to go and do whatever you wanted to do. They didn't bring you on the altar so they can worry about you. They brought you on the altar so you can be still, so they could seek God. And today, of course, you know, we go to church and it's based on what kind of nursery they have. How comfy are the chairs, and you know, is everything going to accommodate me? Well, God has people in the earth that's accommodating the kingdom. And it's not that he's put so much trust in them. Listen close. His real trust is in his son. And we're all in him. Let me try it again. We're all in him. Our location, it's not independent from Jesus, and we're just doing our own thing. Our location is dependent on Jesus, and the location is in him. If any man be in, that's the address, Christ Jesus. He, in him, is a new creation, a new creature. So the idea is for us to get it. This is why we have so many different splits and splinters. We have so many splinters in charismatic churches and Pentecostal churches. We have so many splinters because... let's just talk for a minute, because there are those that don't understand the power of the seeker. So now they got a voice, and so they believe that they're it. They're the next new whatever. But that's not how it works with seekers. Seekers come together, and their mind is in one place. They're not coming together because it's a fashion show. They're not coming together because it's convenient. Seekers rush home to take a shower, put on other clothes if they have to, or whatever the need is, and they get to church quickly because they know there's other seekers in the church. You know, a drunk don't like hanging out with folks that ain't drinking. If you're on drugs, you're not looking for the next person that's not doing drugs. In other words, you like being around your own kind. Seekers love to be around seekers. They have something in common that is based on fellowship. Now, I'm not suggesting that sinners cannot seek knowledge of God, and they cannot seek ideas, and they cannot seek other things. That's not what I'm saying. But I am telling you, according to Scripture, when God raised up Jerusalem, when God raised up the Israelites and the Jewish people, all of that was centered around a people that would seek God. When you take the seeking out, in other words, you're no longer in wonder of who he is. You're not in awe of him now. You've gotten to a place where it's all comfy and it's just Jesus. We're just going to church. It's not a big deal. And you're not coming with the expectation of knowing that there's something about God that God has called you to discover about him. Then we have a problem. If you're just coming for the singing and the dancing and the praise and worship, and I mean, if that's all you're coming for, then you don't understand the power of the seeker. That's why he said, listen, you guys got to stop worrying about all this stuff, how you're going to eat, what you don't worry, forget all that. Seek ye first kingdom. Make the kingdom priority. Seek. And he talks to people that believes. It's not, folks, I'm just telling you, a sinner, as you know, we all are, you know, we are, and there's not one person here that went to sinner. And it doesn't mean you're not one now. We're not sinless, but the power's been broken and we sin less. You'll catch that later. Sin less. Now you have power to overcome the very thing that was your master because we're in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And we sin less because of his nature, not your nature. Your nature, your natural nature and position hates God. Your natural position? Well, no, I've always loved God. You know, I've always loved him. And I just talk to him the way I want. Well, then why are you not seeking him? Don't talk to me about how much you love him, but when he's calling and summoning his seekers, you're somewhere else. Don't talk to me about how devoted you are, but you can't come to church. You can't see. Did you not know? Did you not know seekers are the minorities? Are the minorities today? The seekers? Churches are jam-packed, but they want to be, don't get upset, entertained. Performance is everything. But I've got to tell you here that God has raised up some seekers. Yeah. And they don't have it in their mind to come and just ask God about a car and a boat and that. No. They're, God, I want you. I want your will. I'm crying out for direction. Give me your counsel, God. Use me like you never used me. God, I humble myself. I pray that your name will be great in my mouth. I mean, they're really seeking God and the purpose and the nature of God. Take me to 1 Peter real quickly. 2 Peter, the first chapter. Lift your hand up. You say, God, thank you for giving me a heart to seek after you. That's not everybody. Let's try one more time and see if we can get most of the folks in it. God, thank you for giving me a heart to seek after you. I love that. All right. Give me 2 Peter, the first chapter. 2 Peter, the first chapter. I know it sounds a little strange, but biblically, Moses couldn't seek God until he heard from God. He can run. He can hide. But he never, ever would have discovered his journey. Never would have known until he took a trip up the mountain to see about the fire, not God. He wasn't going up there to see, let me see what God's doing today. That wasn't it. He was going up there to check out this bush that wouldn't stop burning. And it was God that said, look, dude, take your shoes off. The ground you are standing on is holy. And God began to talk to him. And in one moment's time, as God began to talk to him, his whole life changed. Let's talk about Abraham. Abraham was an idolater. God didn't seek after Abraham, didn't pursue Abraham because Abraham was a worshiper of the living God, the one and only true. That's not it. His house was filled with idols. His father was an idolater. God didn't come after him because he was a Holy Ghost filled, and God, that's not what happened. Abraham was tore up. He was seeking other gods, and it was God that disturbed his thinking and dealt with him and said, dude, I'm going to bless you to be a blessing. And God is the one that said, leave your daddy's house, leave your country, leave everything you're familiar with, and God turned him into a seeker. So some of us take it for granted. We just come to church. For what? You're not just coming here. Well, look what God has done. Yes, but why? At one point, his name has to have meaning to you. And there was no greater seeker ever that ever walked the planet like Jesus. And his very life now has been given to us. His seeking becomes our seeking. His heart becomes our heart. His obedience becomes our obedience. In other words, it's God that's stirring you up to pursue him with everything in you. Open your mouth for a moment and shout if you don't mind. Shout if you don't mind one more again. Come on, come on. Now, why is this important? Because your seeking days is not over. It's not over. I don't care if you speak in tongues so much so your tongue fall out in your lap. Your seeking days is not over. You can spin, jump like a kangaroo if you want to. But your seeking days in seeking the will of God, there's too much from God that God wants to give you. And God gives that to seekers. Now, is the verse? Okay, where'd it be at? I don't see it. It's in front of me. Is that in front of me? Yes, it is. Duh. Can they? Okay, there we go. Yes. This letter from Simon Peter, a slave and an apostle of Jesus. Who is he? I can't hear you. Say it again. Come on, Wasilla. What? Who? Huh? What? And he is an apostle, which means that he was sent. Very important. Of Jesus Christ. I am writing to you who share the same. You ready? The same precious faith. Come on, I need everybody to read. Shares the same precious faith we have. Who have? We have. This faith was given to you because, come on, read. Because of the justice and fairness of Jesus Christ, our God and Savior. Watch the next verse. I want you to read loud. You ready? Let's read loud. Third verse, thank you so much. Or the second verse. Y'all sound good. Third verse, are y'all ready? Somebody might dance on this one. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him. The one who called us is, come on, y'all. You get it? Watch the next verse. This is like really, really cool. And I want you to read it loud. Ready? And because of his glory and excellence. Stop. Whose glory? I'm sorry. Because of his glory and excellence, he has given the world. No. I'm sorry. Who? You mean I don't belong in the world? Not if you're not in Jesus. You have to have a location. You have to have a space and place. There are things. Listen, I don't want to upset people. It all can be anyone that believes. God is not looking. He's not an elitist. He's not looking for the best of us because he know we all is pretty toe up. Talk and say something. So it's like God went on. He didn't go on some hunt looking for the best. That's not. No. That's not what happened at all. It's his sovereign call. The split moment that you say to somebody or you believe this, that God called him because he'll be a great usher. He'll be a great deacon. Oh, he's going to be a great evangelist. Look at him. I can see it in him. Then you've forgotten something. That means that God is relying on you to be that. If it's not sovereign, in other words, if God doesn't look over all of your strengths and inabilities, weaknesses, if God does not look, then I know it sounds strange because oftentimes we try to qualify ourselves for the call. And I'm just telling you, the qualified source for the call is God himself. God didn't call me because I was black. And it depends on how you look at me because I also have some European stuff going on. Got some Indian stuff too. I do, really. When I met my dad, been about 7 years ago now, maybe eight. When I first met him, I had to look at him. I was trying to mirror myself to see what I can see because he's a strong, my biological father. Looked like a strong man, huge hands, dark skinned. I don't know him. I didn't know him. I couldn't put it together. And then, of course, I found this one thing that I said, yeah, he's mine. There's no doubt about it. He's mine. That in itself was not what fathered me because he was out of my life for 50-something years. But now my father, who fathered me, Willie Hooks, fathered me, gave me his name, adopted me, gave me his name. Don't you get it? Don't you get it? God did not father you without giving you his name. He didn't adopt you as nameless. You get it? And it's because you're his, you have certain rights that belong to you as a child of God. And then I had others. J.D. Hurt, my father. He's a white man. See, I got them all, boy. I got them all, I'm telling you. Dr. Walker, I can name those that God put in my life. He wasn't replacing my biological father. That's not what happened. But God chose them to impact me and to raise me as a son. So even when I would go out to eat with my dad, and of course I was the darker of the children, and I would go out to eat with him, and he took me up under his wings at a young age after my father and mother permitted him. He actually went to my father and mother and said, the Lord told me to take Robert and put him under my wings and to train him for ministry. Up until that point, I was walking the church 15 miles every single day. Every day. It wasn't like church today. We had church every day. Every single day we had church. Never burden, never problem. Got home from school, did my homework, did my work, and immediately went on the journey to get to church. Because what happened when God saved me, he gave me the capacity to seek the hunger for him. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst. For what? What's going to happen? They will be satisfied. Most people are waiting to be satisfied so they can hunger and thirst. So no. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, because God is going to, it's guaranteed, he's going to satisfy you. So my soul was satisfied. I didn't need all of the anything. Listen, I played drums and walked. Nobody gave me no money. None of that mattered to me. It didn't matter to me. That's where I learned how to fast and to seek God. Seeking God is crucial. It's crucial to understand why you're in this auditorium and why God has called you to Alaska. Not just the city, but all Alaska will know you're here. Governor will know you here. The capital, Juneau, God help me, will know you here. Little island, that's what I was stuck on. My God, let me tell you, it's cold too. Listen, I'm from Africa. It don't work. I'm just saying. The sunshine wasn't shining that day, boy. It was snow. It was cray cray. And I was in this. I was so cold. Woo! Anyway, where's the verse? Get the verse back up. So we have this amazing place in Christ, and this place is so that seekers can come comfortably, safely seek God, pursue him, run after him. I don't know. Some of us, you might be bored with them. I don't know. I don't know if you still have your first love and your first joy. Even to this day, I get home sometime and I'll go to the recording studio, pull back the carpet that we have in it's a big old throw rug in the live room. I'll pull that bad boy off, throw off my shoes, and we'll dance like a fool. I'm so grateful with what he's done for me. I never want to lose my dance. It's not always at church, because some people, they come to church, they don't worship God all day long, and they come there, woo! They come, they ain't said a word to God all day, none. Not other than when they drive and say, Lord, please don't let that cop stop me. That's about it. Oh, Lord, Jesus, I don't need no ticket. My insurance, your mind just start going. But I'm telling you this because God didn't call you just to seek him when you get here. Seekers are learning the authority that they have, that you actually have rights. You actually maintain an authority. You have legal rights to the documents of the kingdom. The records of the kingdom belongs to you. Do you understand me? This is what makes you powerful. You're not powerful just because you fast, and you can fast and not seek God. The seeking of God, the come. How many of y'all, some of you looked at me when I first started talking, some said, what are you talking about? Seeking don't belong to sinners. No, God will change their heart so they will seek him. How many of y'all was seeking everything else but God before you got saved? When like some of y'all was seeking for the... Let's just say the Lord saved us. Yeah. So what God does, he begins to help us. Read this, you ready? And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. Wow. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In other words, God has never relied or trusted on your desire alone. Then when you get to 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, you read that none of the wisdom in the world has ever took you to God. You've never came to God based on your wisdom. It's always been the Spirit of God touching you, moving upon your heart. It's God that softens the heart. It's God that speaks to the mind. The mind is an enemy to God. We have set up thoughts that demons actually hide behind to keep you in bondage, to keep you addicted, to keep you driven for nothing but the world. But then you heard a message of the gospel, and that message came to you like a hammer and began to break the rocks up and deal with your heart. And your heart now is softened, and you're trying not to cry, but the tears is rolling down. You're trying not to get up and run down to the altar, but the Spirit of God is upon you, and it's a house full of seekers. It's folks that's been waiting all their life to see you come and to come to God, to see you get to the altar, to see that you say yes to God. They've been seeking God on your behalf, praying because your children need God, praying to break curses off of your life, praying to break generational things off of your life, praying to break choices off of your life. They're seeking God on your behalf. They're walking in an authority that's not theirs by natural birth, but it is their by spiritual birth. It's not theirs because that they're strong and they're mighty. It's not theirs because that they have money and that they have authority in the earth. No, it's theirs because they have authority in the kingdom of God. And it's in that place that we begin to say, God, I know what my eyes see, but you're greater than what my eyes is looking at. I know I don't feel a lot of strength in my physical, but I know that you are my strength to move from here to there. In other words, God begins to deal with us as seekers. We talk different as seekers. We anticipate different as seekers. We come to church not asking for the service that happened last week or last night. We come to church saying, God, do what you've never done. God, say, God, speak. God, deal with our hearts. Cause our hearts to delight in you. The scripture said, those that delight in him, he'll give the desires of their heart. And the Hebrew says, those that are pliable to God, God gives you the desires of your heart. Because God sees that you are flexible. He sees that you are pliable. You're not coming in seeking your will. You're coming in and saying, God, not my will, but thy will be done. You're not coming in and demanding from heaven to give you what you want, but you're saying, God, whatever you want to do in the earth, God, you know I'm nothing without you. I have no strength without you. I am nothing without you, but God, you're living inside of me. All things are possible for me because you made me a seeker. I'm not just a believer going to church trying to get to heaven. I'm not calling on you to be a fire extinguisher to keep me out of hell. I'm in love with you. I love you more than I've ever loved you. I'm seeking you beyond any other time in my life that I sought after you. God is trying to get you to understand he's called you to share in his divine nature. No, you cannot become God, but God became you so that you can abide in Jesus Christ, the one that has the name. The word name is Anoma. That name, he said, at that name every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Lift your hand up if you know God is calling you to be a seeker. You gotta shake yourself. Shake yourself. You got to shake yourself. Don't you ever let yourself fall asleep in the things of God. Don't you ever, ever allow your heart for the secular stuff to be greater than those things that are spiritual. Don't you ever just seek things above seeking God. Don't you ever allow yourself to get to a place where you're spiritually bankrupt. God has too much wealth to give to you. God has too much revelation to give to you. God has too much God to give to you. God said, I'll never leave you. Now will I forsake you. I'm here with you now. You're going through something? It's all right. Seek me. I'll show you if you seek me. I'll help you if you seek me. I'll bring you out of stuff you can never get out on your own. Seekers of God get what's in heaven. Get what's in the kingdom of God. It belongs. You have the right. I want you to just treat it like you're going through the mall. You have the right because it's paid for. You have the right to just grab that healing. You have the right to grab that mind. You have the right to grab that strength. You have rights as seekers. You're not sinners. You are seekers of the living God. Shout if you believe it. No amount of listen, no amount of poverty can hold you. Pornography and habits and issues, and none of this. I know you're saving. You're struggling with some stuff, some of you. But I just want you to know, if you seek God, if you say, God, look, I can't do it on my own. Lift your hand up and say, I can't do this by myself. Say it out loud. I can't do it. I need you. You've got to do it. And this is why these verses are important. It's important because God had you in view when he summons seekers. He had you and I in view. So then what do we do now? We're here. What do we do? Okay, we're here. What do we do? Let's see. What do we do? We've done already saying we're here now. Okay, all right. Okay. Yeah, I spoke in tongues a little bit. I'm here now. Okay. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right. Yeah. I'm here. My children is in the, praise God. They're in the nursery, wherever. Praise the Lord. We're here to praise it. We're here. Yes, hallelujah. Oh, don't those beans look just wonderful? The lights are just beautiful. Beautiful light, just brutal. I tell you, that stage is something else. That's not what you call the sick. You got to come to church. Is there anybody here that understands that you are a community of covenant people? People that seek, pursue, and run after God. Some of us were perfectly hassled in our spirit. We're hassled. We're harassed inside. I mean, there's something going on inside of your spirit. And you're looking around trying to figure out who it is, what it is, and what's going on. And God said, listen, you're using all of the energy, all of the blessings I've given to you to seek for something to come to relieve you of what you're feeling, as opposed to seeking me and understand that you have authority over what you're feeling so you can know who I really am. I can even imagine Daniel seeking just help. I can't imagine the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I can't imagine. I cannot imagine them in that predicament, and they just want to get out of the fire. They just want to get away from the lion. Listen, the trouble was the time to seek God. Nobody can deliver me but you, oh God. Lift your hands up and say, God, thank you for what you're doing now. Say it out loud. Thank you for what you're doing now. Shout it out. Thank you. Shout it out. Thank you. So now let's go to Philippians. Get there, the second chapter. I want to read this, and I'm not through, but I'll be done. No, I'm not done, but I'll be through. Now, why? Listen to this. 2 Philippians 2:5, and we'll read from 5-9. Do you all understand the privilege you have? Do you understand the keys in your hand? I was a little boy, just a 14-year-old teenager. And let me tell you, I saw things at that age. Quarters disappear. Woman that had a tumor on her brain vomit the tumor up. How it got to her stomach, I know not. But vomited it up and put it in a jar. I saw too much to not seek him. That's why all the miracles. Do you understand why God does miracles? Miracles are your servant. They serve you in the kingdom. Acts 4. Lord, grant unto us boldness. The word boldness in the Greek is the freedom of speech. And then give us miracles. Why? So they can know who you are. In other words, miracles don't come for you to take your eyes off of God. Miracle comes to serve the purpose of God. So you'll always look to God for what's impossible. So as a kid, I saw things. I remember seeing a lady that she had one of her eyes, and the eye, you could look at the eye, and I don't know what the disease was. I don't know what went on as a child when she was at birth, but I know she had an eyeball, and you can look inside of her eyes. You can't. There was no pupil or anything. It was hollow. Why they didn't pull it out, I don't know any of that. I was a kid. I don't know. I didn't ask questions. But I remember my dad praying for this woman. And I stood there with him. I was just a kid. I'm a teenager. It's a terrible thing to be young and know God and then try to pursue something else. If you've ever experienced God, nothing can compete with him. And so I had the handkerchief, and my dad said, Robert, take that handkerchief and put on the good eye. And I put on the good eye, the eye that she can see. Beautiful blue eye, beautiful blue eye. And then he prayed for the eye that was had no sight, had no pupil in it. It was the strangest thing. I have pictures of it. He prayed for her, and he said these words. Woman, I don't think you're going to see, I know you will. And he asked her, do you believe? She said, yes. And he said, now keep that eye closed until I tell you to open it. And when he said open that eye, I mean God gave her an instant miracle. And her eye was completely healed. Had the most beautiful, beautiful eye. There was only one thing. That eye was green. She got a blue eye and she got a green eye. The church went crazy. We were in an auditorium in Los Angeles. They started dancing, and I mean, listen, they started blessing God. So when it was over with, although I was going like, wow, this is so amazing. I'm a kid. But then when we got in the car and we were driving home, and I said, Dad, why in the world did God give her a green eye instead of a perfect blue eye? And he grabbed me by my knee while he was driving. It's a Pinto. Y'all don't know anything about a Pinto. Back then, Pintos was the ticket, boy. How many of y'all know anything about Pinto? I'm not talking about a horse. I'm talking Pinto. And he grabbed me by my leg, and he said, Robert, and I hated when he grabbed me by my leg because I hated that sensation. Robert, I'll tell you why God did it. He was so country. He's with the Lord right now. He grabbed me by and he said, Robert, I'll tell you why God did it. Because exactly what you're asking is what God wants the world to ask. Why a green eye instead of a blue eye? Then she'll tell her testimony that God, and she'll show the picture. This is what it was before prayer. This is what it is after prayer. But what got me is when my dad would be upstairs. I told you he adopted me when I was 14, 15 years old. He adopted me. Is when I would go home late in the night. I'd be trying to sleep and I can hear whimpering, crying. And I would get up and I walk through the house. Our room was upstairs. The master room was upstairs. And I get to where his office was. And I can hear him in the office crying before God. And I would so gently and quietly open the door because I'm nosy. And I'd look in, and there he was with his face down. My dad looked like Johnny Cash. I mean, his hair was black like that. And, you know, he wore his hair that way. He wasn't black. It was kind of dark brown, but he wore his hair that way. And I would see him, and his hair is all over the place. And he'd be on that desk crying out to God, seeking God, like my grandma. I could never, ever beat my grandma. I mean, like, she would put us to bed, and I'd see her get on her knees. And I'd wake up, and she'd still be on her knees the next morning. I didn't know how she did that. I'm a kid. My grandma do it. These seekers have a pattern. They're not after you. They're after God. Three of you said amen. How about four? Going once, going twice? All right, that's better. So some of you that are here now, they're seeking a husband and a wife. Some of you treat the Bible like God's a genie in a lamp. Quote a few verses and you get what you want. And if God don't give it to you when you want it and how you want it, that's why I ain't serving God. I prayed and nothing happened, did it? Nothing happened. That's because nothing happened with you. Come on, boo. That's not how it works. I'm just saying, he's not your sugar daddy. You got people mad and angry with God and at church. Well, the churchmen, they just gripe because they came to church just long enough to get more religion and not become a seeker. They don't understand their privilege and their right as a believer. We seek God. What do you do for a living? I seek God. Well, I'm a plumber. Great. I seek the Lord. I have nothing to do with plumbing because we all need one. I have nothing to do with anything. Mechanic, do your thing. I can't do it. Do your thing. But my true call is to pursue. That's the language of seeking God. Prayer is the language. Pursuing God is leaning into God. All of these terms are terms that has to do with seekers of God. So we're not coming to church just so somebody could entertain us and preach to us so we can say, how was service this evening? It was all right. You know, it was all right. It was okay. It was all right. It's aight. And God is going like, You don't understand your privilege. So in a few moments when we pray, you better not pray the way you did last week. You better open your mouth and know where you are. First, I'm in Christ Jesus. Say it out. I am in Christ Jesus. And there's no condemnation in him. Say it. There's no condemnation. Shout it out. There's no Romans 8 and 1 is very plain. None. Aren't y'all glad that you're safe? Aren't you glad that God ain't pulling up your dirty laundry? It's like, I know you say, but you got to pay for this. Aren't you glad that he paid for everything for you? I said, aren't you glad he paid for everything? And then he took you and put you in a safe place. I'll put you in me. Nothing can defeat me. You're not just saved, you're safe. For what? So I can seek after God. I was on the airplane. I'm closing. I was on the airplane. I mean, look at, they got the clock over there, but I got to look at my time too. Glory a Dios. That's Spanish to say glory to God. So let me just tell you, I'm on the plane. I've got this crazy, crazy missionary with me. Crazy. I mean, she's like really cray cray. Her name is Jewel. And Jewel is one of those persons that's very loud about her faith. Crazy loud. I mean, like she's like loud, crazy. And the planes start going down. We're a few thousand feet up in the air. American Airlines, nothing against you, American Airlines. But the engine blew up. Pieces of the engine has fallen to the ground in Fresno. And the plane is going down. When I first got on the plane, the young lady that was sitting next to me, she wouldn't even talk to me or anything. I said, how are you doing? I just want to scoot by you. She moved her legs. Scooted by her to get to the window. And I said, wow. I said, Art, the plane is full, isn't it? Ain't no time to get hurt feelings. Who am I that she have to talk to anyway? So I sit down, put on my seatbelt. We get up in the air, and that plane start to crash. She felt feelings. Grab me by the hand. Oh, my God. I said, this plane can't crash. She said, what do you mean? I said, I got to preach tonight. She said, you're a preacher? I said, yes. If it does crash, you'll die, but I can't. Her comfort went out the window. So Jewel is going on the same mission trip with me. And Jewel stands up. Well, no, she's sitting down. She didn't sit up, but she lifted her voice. If you don't know Jesus, you better get saved or you're going to hell. If this plane crashes, you are lost forever and ever and ever. And so the people just go, oh, God. You tell them how to acquire some help. Their voices was lifted. They have no idea. But after seeking God, I knew where I was supposed to be. And I knew God had guaranteed my travel. If the plane did crash, I'd be the only one living. But he was going to keep me. I needed to be somewhere to preach. Listen to me. Seeking God relieves you of anxiety. Some of you are filled with anxiety because you're trying to seek something from God as opposed to seeking him. When you seek God, his glory fills your thinking. Can I ask you, when was the last time y'all danced in this church? Did y'all dance? I know I see them down here dancing and doing, you know, I see that stuff. But when's the last time some of y'all really kind of broke out and just got down for Jesus? I know some of you went to the club last night, but I'm talking about in service. Some of you know you ain't even got no rhythm. Legs going everywhere, you ain't got no rhythm. And what's really bad is when your friends say, go, you gigging, girl. Oh, you are gigging. Look at that fool. But when was the last time you gigged for Jesus? When was the last time you lifted your voice up so nobody can quiet you down? When was the last time you prayed so much that they had to come and knock on the door? Daddy, you all right? Daddy, you all right in there? But you on your knees. Seeking God dropped you to your knees, not trouble. Because some of us, we don't ever get to our knees until trouble gets us. Oh, Lord, help me, Lord. You know, I got to pay that gas bill, Jesus. I mean, that's when you start praying. Seeking God has a way of doing something in your spirit that you lose you. Jeremiah said, when you seek me with, 29, when you seek me with your whole heart, I'll be found of you. Why did you stop seeking him, some of you? You seek stuff. Like I said earlier, I'm believing God for my husband. I'm going to get my husband one way or another. If God don't give him to me, I'm going to still get my husband. I need to be taken care of. So you're seeking to be taken care of. Some people marry the wrong people, turning a date into a destiny. Don't even realize if you would have sought God, you would have married the right person. See how cried it got? Why he got to get on that? Why? Who told him that I was seeking? Oh, never mind. God draws you into his heart and is so intense, you reach up and touch his face and he cuddles you. And you can see the love in his eyes for you. And that look changes you forever. All you want is that look, that touch. All you want is that embrace and that safety. God begins to show you things in revelation. He begins to teach you about himself because you're close. You've embraced him. Oh, it's bigger than just coming to church. That's the result of something. But now you're here. We have an auditorium filled with seekers. And the devil hates you because your heart has turned from seeking darkness to seeking the light. He hates that there's a prayer on your lips, worship in your heart. He cannot stand you because you're justified, clean by the blood, name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He hates the fact that you came on a Sunday night when it's cold and I don't know what over there, and got the audacity to lift your hands and worship God and dance like you lost your mind. And that's why I don't care about the world, what they think about me. I don't care. Call me crazy if you want to, but I know what God has done for me.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.